Pastor Denton and his wife Angie are on vacation on their Harley Davidson this week, so when they do that, I'm what you get. I'm very nervous tonight. Pastor Denton said just to do this as if I was sitting in the youth room, and it's a lot different than the youth room. So let's just pretend that we're in my backyard and we've just had a nice cookout and we're just sitting around talking, and maybe I'll be able to get through this. The lesson tonight that I'm going to do comes from Judges 14 and 16, and it's entitled, If I Just Listened to My Parents. Okay, has there ever been a time in your life when you found yourself in a bad situation, and it's one that you wished you'd never gotten yourself into, a situation that you shouldn't have been involved in the first place, a situation that had all the warning signs? There were lots of red flags waving right before your eyes, but you chose to ignore those warning signs and the red flags. And at the end of the situation, you found yourself saying these words, if I just listened to Mom and Dad, if I just paid attention to what Mom and Dad was trying to tell me, or if I'd just done what Mom and Dad told me to do. Now, I know I'm talking mostly to the kids here tonight, but I think most of us adults probably can relate to having listened to what Mom and Dad told us to do. And maybe sometimes we listened and maybe we didn't. I think we all probably had what I like to call with my kids is their stupid season. And I think we all probably had a stupid season in our lives. So we need to keep that in mind as we're parenting our kids. Sometimes people might say, well, if I just listened, I wouldn't be broke. Or if I would have just listened, I wouldn't dropped out of high school, wouldn't left college, I wouldn't have been expelled from school, I wouldn't be pregnant outside of marriage. Some people might say, well, I wouldn't have gotten that speeding ticket, or I wouldn't have gotten fired from a job if I'd have just listened to what Mom and Dad said. Well, the Bible tells us in Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God has given you. And in Ephesians 6:1-3, the Bible says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, and for this is the right thing for you to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And if you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth. Well, tonight I want to tell you about a man who, if he'd have listened to his mom and dad and had paid attention to his parents and what they were trying to tell him, he'd have had a happy ending to his life story. But instead, he had a sad ending. And the man I'm talking about was Samson. How many of us are familiar with Samson? Okay? Most of you know who Samson was. Samson was known to be one of the judges of Israel. And as a judge of Israel, his main purpose was to deliver Israel out of slavery from the enemies. Now, the enemies were the Philistines at the time. Samson was also known to be the strongest man who ever lived. And it wasn't Popeye, it was Samson. Okay, he was a man with given extraordinary strength. And the reason Samson was given this extraordinary strength was because he had made a pact or promise with the Lord. You see, Samson was born a Nazarite, which meant he was a person who had strict religious vows. As a Nazarite, Samson couldn't touch or drink wine, and he wasn't to have his hair cut. Now, the reason he wasn't to have his hair cut is because God had given him his extraordinary strength through his hair. And through his hair, God gave Samson the strength to kill a lion with his bare hands. And he killed it as easily as killing a small goat. Okay, he was able to catch 300 foxes. And then he tied those foxes, two at a time. He tied their tails in pairs. He lit a torch to each one. He tied a torch to each one, and he lit this on fire. And then he set them loose in the cornfields of the Philistines, and it burned all their cornfields. And later, he was able to kill 30 Philistine men all at one time. And even later still, through the strength of his hair, God gave Samson the strength to kill 1,000 Philistine men with just one weapon, and that was the jawbone of a donkey. He had blessed Samson with his extraordinary strength through his hair to defeat the Philistines. Now, later in the book of Judges, we see Samson's hair has been cut. His eyes have been gouged out, and Samson was in prison. He was bound up in chains, and he was walking in circles in a grind mill all day. Now, you've seen those grind mills at the top where there's two big flat rocks together, and and there's a pole across the top, and you see these people walking and moving that one stone on the other. Well, that's where we see Samson at this point. It was hard work. And now we see the strongest man who had ever lived completely and utterly defeated. Now the question is, how did the strongest man who ever lived find himself so completely defeated? Well, for a long time I blamed Delilah for Samson's troubles, because I felt like if Samson hadn't gotten involved with Delilah, he wouldn't have got his hair cut and he wouldn't have lost his strength, and he certainly wouldn't have been captured by the Philistines. But as I look closer at Samson's situation, I realized it was Samson's fault he got his eyes gouged out. And it was Samson's fault he ended up in prison. And it was Samson's fault he was all chained up walking around that grist mill all day. And the reason it was Samson's fault is because he didn't listen to his mom and dad. If he wouldn't have been involved, he wouldn't have been involved with a woman like Delilah had he listened to his parents. Now, Delilah wasn't the only woman Samson had been tangled up with. Before he got tangled up with Delilah, Samson had married another woman, and that marriage lasted all of 7 days. Then Samson got involved with a prostitute. And then it's not till later on that we read that Samson has gotten involved with Delilah. Now, you'll notice that the woman Samson got involved, all these women that Samson got involved with were bad women. And they were bad women because they were Philistines. They looked fine, they were pretty, all right, but they were bad women. They smelled like good perfume, and they dressed real nice, and they looked fine in their clothes, but they were still bad women. And Samson would have never been involved with these women if he had just listened to his parents. Samson's problem was that he allowed his lust to get the better of him, which in turn got him hooked up with all these wrong women. But this would have not been the case if he had listened to his mom and dad. In reading in the book of Judges, we learn that Samson was hard-headed and a bit of a rebel. Can anybody relate to that? I think I can. I know my kids can. Sometimes we're all hard-headed and rebellious. One day Samson came home and told his parents that he had found a woman in a place called Timnah and that he wanted to marry her. Problem was, this woman was a Philistine. And remember who the Philistines were. They were the enemy. They were the enemies of Israel. And these were people who didn't worship one true and living God as Samson did. Then Samson told his parents he wanted to marry a Philistine woman. When he told them, they responded by saying, "Why do you have to go to Timnah to find a woman to marry? There are plenty of women right here in your own city. Don't you know that Philistine women don't worship the same God you do? Don't you know that the women in Timnah don't have a covenant relationship with God and they worship idols? Again, son, can't you look for a woman to marry someplace else out besides Timnah? Why don't you pick someone within your own city?" So they were totally against him dating this woman from Timnah. But Samson said, "I want this woman. She pleases me. She looks good. She smells good. She wears her clothes well. And I want her and only her." Now notice something here. When Samson tells his parents he's found this woman in Timnah and that he wants to marry her, there are at least four things that Samson fails to do. First of all, he tells his parents he wants to marry this woman and he doesn't even know her name. Guys, before you get serious about a girl, start dating and getting married, you want to know her last name. You want to know her first name. And girls, same thing goes for you. You want to at least know the guy's name that you're marrying and get involved with. Now, two songs come to mind here. Alan Jackson's "I Don't Even Know Your Name" and Carrie Underwood's "I Don't Even Know My Last Name." So apparently people are still making this mistake, or they wouldn't be writing songs about it. The second thing Samson does is he doesn't take the time to get to know her real well. He doesn't take time to get to know her family or her friends, and as a result of Samson not taking time to get to know this woman or her background and following the advice of his parents, the marriage only lasts 7 days. He went back home to live with his parents. Now, check this out, girls. Third thing, Samson leaves his wife and goes back home to live with his parents. And that tells me Samson wasn't ready to get married in the first place. Because when a man gets married, he ought to be living on his own, and he ought to have his own place, and he ought to be paying his own bills. The Bible tells us in Genesis 2:24 that when a man gets married, a man is to leave his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united in one. Fourth thing, Samson should have avoided this whole heartbreak and this whole messy marriage if he had just listened to his parents. Now, when a person goes through a divorce or a breakup from a relationship, you should chill out a while. You shouldn't rush into another relationship right away. A person should give themselves time to heal before entering another relationship. But Samson rushes right out into another relationship. He doesn't give himself time to heal from the divorce. First, he starts messing around with a prostitute. And then after he's done with her, he falls in love with another woman. And what's this woman's name? Delilah. He gave himself no time to heal from his previous marriage, and because he didn't do that, now he continues to do what? He makes the same mistakes that he made the first go around. So he meets Delilah. She's another woman his parents have advised him not to get involved with. The scriptures tells us that he loved her. He loved her deeply. But she didn't love him. In fact, it says she despised him. Can you imagine being married to someone who despises you? And she did from the get-go. She didn't mind him taking out to dinner, buying her flowers, and she didn't mind his kisses, but she didn't love him. As a matter of fact, she wanted Samson dead because he was defeating the men of Philistine, and it was making them look bad. And when the leaders of the Philistines offered Delilah lots of money to find out where Samson's strength lied, and how he could be defeated, she didn't hesitate to throw him under the bus. Just because somebody smiles at you guys and laughs with you and even goes out with you doesn't mean that person's that really into you. Samson should have never gotten caught up with a woman like Delilah because she didn't worship God. She didn't have a covenant relationship with the Lord. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, don't team up with those who are non-believers. How can righteous be a partner with wickedness? How can light live in darkness? And this is what Samson's mom and dad were trying to tell him all along. They were trying to tell him that since he was an anointed man of God, who worshiped God and who had a covenant relationship with God, that he should marry someone who worshiped and... Did I just say that? They're making fun of my West Virginia heritage. I say worship, and they say worship. So I've got it written on every one of these, W-E-R, so I'll know how to say it. Okay, but anyway, she didn't worship the same God and have the same covenant relationship with the same God. But nothing do Samson. He got tangled up with this woman who didn't worship God, and by doing that, he brought a whole boatload of mess into his life. Now, you're probably asking yourself, if it was so wrong for Samson to be with this woman from Timnah and to be with the prostitute and be with Delilah, why didn't God warn him? Well, God did try to warn Samson about his bad relationships. First, God warned Samson through his parents. And second, God warned Samson through the lion. Do you remember the lion that he killed with his bare hands? Well, that lion attacked him when he left the prostitute's house. And let me tell you guys, if you're going to see a girl and a lion attacks you, and somehow you survive, don't go on to your girlfriend's house. Go back home, okay? You boys think about that. Third, Samson warned him when he left the prostitute in the middle of the night. Actually, that was the lady from Timnah. The prostitute, he left her in the middle of the night, and he was captured by the Philistines who were waiting to ambush him. And that's those 30 men that he defeated. But last but not least, God warned Samson about Delilah because all she kept trying to do was find out how she could make him weak like a regular man so he could be defeated. So you see, God warned Samson about his knack for bad relationships, but most of all, God warned Samson through his word, especially when the word of God was spoke by his parents. Now Proverbs 6:20-23 says, "My son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instructions. Keep their word always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their advice will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you, for their command is the lamp and their instruction is the light. Their corrective discipline is a way to life. It goes on to say in verse 27, can a man scoop a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch on fire? Of course, the answer to that is no. You'll get burned every time. And that's what happened to Samson. He got burned in his bad relationship because he didn't listen to his mom and dad. Now, you got to understand that even though Samson messed up and got involved in all the wrong relationships, God still loved him and he still cared about him. God still used him for his glory, and God still used him to defeat the Philistines. And likewise, God still loves us and cares for us when we do wrong. He will still use us for his glory. But remember this, we still have to face the consequences of our actions when we do wrong. Just like Samson had to face the consequences for his actions of not listening to his parents regarding his relationships, we too will experience consequences in our lives when we stray from God. But God is a forgiving God, a merciful God, who will forgive our sins if we just ask for forgiveness. He will give us a second chance to do what's right because he's plenty in mercy and his love is everlasting. That's why we need to have Jesus Christ in our lives. And we need to stay in prayer so we can avoid getting into these wrong kind of relationships that will bring us down and ruin our reputation. And that goes for everything, not just our relationships. So the moral of this story is, listen to your mom and dad. If you recall a few weeks ago, we talked about how the Bible tells us it was our parents' responsibility to lead us and teach us. We studied this in Sunday school or youth one night, I can't remember which. And one day, the Bible tells us it's our parents' responsibility to lead us and teach us. And one day you will be parents, or at least some of you will. And it will be your responsibility to lead your children and teach your children about the things God has planned for us and the things God wants for us. Look at it this way. When you buy a new car, it's got all the bells and whistles. It has heated seats. You sit down in the seat and it remembers where you like to have it set just by the push of a button. But how many of us can get that car from the dealership and know how all that stuff works? What do? We pop the glove box open and we look for the user's manual. So, or the owner's manual. So it'll tell us how all these things work. And then we look at if we were to buy a car and this user's manual wasn't in it, what would be the first thing we would do? We'd head back to the dealership and demand our user's manual. Okay? So it's the same thing for life, guys. Right there's your user's manual. They're everywhere. They're plentiful. I bet every one of your homes has two or three in them. And right there's your user's manual. So you need to use it, just like you do when you buy a new car. Your parents are not here to suck the life out of your young adult years. Truly, they're not. It may seem that way, but they're not. They want more than anything for you to be happy. They don't want to tell you things to make your life miserable. They tell you things to keep you safe, to keep you out of trouble, and to teach you so that you can teach their grandchildren. They do these things because they are following God's plan for them, to teach you right from wrong, good from evil, righteousness over sin. So guys, don't find yourself in situations where you're saying, if I just listen to mom and dad. Instead, let's remember what it says in Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land of the Lord your God has given you. Now, that's my devotion. This is my invitation. I've never done an invitation before in my life. So just bear with me because I'm just going to kind of tell you about my experience. When I was 15 or so, Little Baptist Church down where I lived in West Virginia was having a week-long revival, and I decided to go. And it wasn't to hear the preacher preach. I went for a much, much more important reason. And his name was Mark. The first night, I could tell you every move Mark made. When he crossed his legs, when he reached for a hymnal, when he touched his hair, when he moved his arms. And I couldn't tell you one word that preacher said that night. Then the second night, I half-heartedly listened to the preacher because from where I was sitting, I couldn't see Mark. So he had moved. The third night, the preacher had said some fairly interesting stuff, and it was beginning to make sense to me. And when I left that night, it wasn't so much about Mark as it was about what was happening inside of me. I had begun to evaluate a few things. The fourth night, I felt like God was speaking directly to me. He was leaning on me a little bit, for lack of better words. When the invitation was given that night, my heart was ready to make that step to move over and out in that aisle. But my feet wouldn't work. My heart was pulling me in one direction, and my feet weren't cooperating. Now, this was a week-long revival, and it was now Thursday. That night, same thing happened. My heart was ready to receive, but my feet were planted firmly in place, and I was struggling. The last night of the revival, I had a plan. I would sit on the front row. It was just 3 steps to the altar. And surely to goodness, I could make 3 steps. The invitation came, and here I am again. I'm cemented to the floor. I remember saying to myself, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to give my life to you, but you've got to make my feet move. And I took those 3 steps. I didn't get a date with Mark that week. In fact, I don't think I ever saw him after that. But I met this other guy, and he's been with me ever since. Now, that doesn't mean I live a wonderful, mistake-free, sin-free life. I'd like to stand here and tell you I do, but I don't. Get hold of yourself, Mom. But I stumble all the time. I stumble every day. I was doing good till Mom lost it. It wasn't until years later that I realized why my feet wouldn't move. If you're here tonight and God is speaking to your heart and maybe leaning on you a little bit and your feet won't seem to move, it's the devil. You need to kick the devil off your heels. Don't let him hold your feet. Or maybe you've been here before and somewhere along the way your life just seemed to get kind of all junked up and you'd like to come again. Maybe your roadmap is kind of all crumpled up and you'd like to get it ironed back out and get refresh your perspective. And the altar is also a great place to come and leave your junk. If you're dealing with a situation or a circumstance and it's almost more than you can bear, just come and leave your junk in God's lap. Can you imagine if these 3 steps or 2 steps could talk? Can you imagine the junk that's been left here over the years? So number one, if God's talking to your heart, kick the devil off your ankles. Take those few steps. Don't let him stand between you and God. This is the place for you. If you need a do-over, this is definitely the place for you. If you have junk in your life that you'd just like to get rid of, just put it out of your life and put it in God's capable hands. Right here's the place for you.